Now, in the Pacific, there are over 3,000 shipwrecks, and with over 300 of them are oil tankers. Now, already corroding, releasing whatever oil is in their bunkers, which poses a substantial threat to the Pacific Maritime's heritage and reef ecosystems. So to talk about this, we are joined by Pat Miller from Major Projects Foundation, a non-for-profit set up to respond to maritime issues affecting the Pacific Island nations. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, David.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, what is the biggest threat to the Pacific Island nations from oil and leaking from these shipwrecks?
Well, as you quite rightly pointed out, there's 3,100 warships that were, sorry, not warships, but ships in general that were sunk in the Pacific during World War II. They've now been underwater for around the 75-year mark. Of those, we know that 300 to 310 were oil tankers. The figures are incredibly rubbery because a lot of shipping was co-opted during the war, and they just lost track of the count, such as the horror and destruction of war. However, what we do know is that a lot of these wrecks have oil in them, and the oil is starting to leak out as the wrecks corrode. And so the Major Projects Foundation was set up, and it was basically supported by Major Projects Demolition here in Newcastle. After talking to a lot of scientists around the place who knew about it, and talking to Pacific Island Nation communities who also knew about the oil leaking out, they basically said, look, the best thing you can do is get us a ship. So nobody was more surprised than us when, I think it was about February the 18th, the New Zealand Navy decommissioned the HMNZS Manawanui. It was a 43-metre dive tender. And even more surprising, we threw in a bid and got it. So we've suddenly got an ex-warship that will do what we want to do, and that is basically to mitigate the potential environmental disaster. It's a bit more than potential. It's going to happen as these wrecks corrode. So our job now is to amass the science, to get on board engineering, to get on board the technologies that we need to find out where the oil is, what sort of a threat it poses, and how we mitigate that threat.
Yeah, right. It's definitely a very major threat in terms, no matter how slow it kind of happens. But is there any way that the corrosion process can be slowed down?
Alison and Chris Selman are two corrosion engineers, and their day job is to stop oil pipelines corroding. They are also dead keen divers and terrific environmentalist type people, and they've been advising us on the capacity to put some cathodic protection on the wrecks to slow down the corrosion. So this will buy us a bit of breathing space. This will buy us a bit of time to work out how big the threat is, where it is, and what we can do about it. So the short answer is yes. We'll certainly be looking at slowing down this whole corrosion process.
Yeah, right. Now, you did mention this recently. An NZ couple made the news after purchasing the HMNZS Manawanui. That's it. Thanks for that. A decommissioned dive tender to help you with this mission. Can you tell us a bit more about how that's going to work and help you?
Well, the pair who actually bought it were Paul and Wilma Adams. And Paul Adams is the managing director of Major Projects Group, which is the demolition company that's actually pulling down a tower in Newcastle at the moment. And Manawanui is an absolutely unique ship. She has a four-point anchoring system. So basically, there are four anchors, one on each corner of the ship, that each have 1,000 metres, like a kilometre of cable.
Oh, wow.
And you can position the ship directly over a wreck to put a dive bell or divers down or whatever it is we have to do. It has a recompression chamber where the New Zealand Navy used to be incredibly proud that they could pull a military diver up from great depths and have that diver in the recompression chamber in 7 minutes of breaking the surface and repressurized to stop the bends. The ship has all of the navigation gear on it that we need, and she's 43 metres long, and she has the heavy lift capacity in, I've forgotten the number, I think it's about 5 cranes, but one of them is a, scrambling for the numbers here. It's about a 10-ton lift crane.
Yeah, wow.
So all of this stuff coupled with major projects, engineering expertise means we're pretty much set up and ready to go. We have just come off an international teleconference with SPREP, which is the Secretariat of the Pacific Regional Environment Program. And the whole idea of that was to stitch up the relationship between the South Pacific Environment Program, the University of Newcastle, and us about where to next. And that's what we're looking for. And while we're doing that, we're actually running out of money. The major projects group has been incredibly generous with the expertise to get us started, but the money is starting to run out, so we really need to find the cash.
Yeah,
so
right.
If any of your listeners would like to contribute, we would love that. If they could go to majorprojects.org.au, that's majorprojects.org.au, you can read all about us and fling us a bit of cash. We really would appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll make sure to put majorprojects.org.au along with the podcast after the interview. I guess back onto that kind of running out of money theme, is it a bit of a race against time to deal with these this issue, given the number of shipwrecks?
Oh, David, it's an absolute race against time. And this was the issue that the SPREP people on the teleconference this morning actually raised, and it's about these things aren't stopping corroding. So there will come a time when there will be a really major oil breakout. Now, in 2008, the USS Mississinewa in Yap started breaking up after a cyclone, and the United States Navy moved in incredibly quickly and mopped up the entire thing in about 2 months. It was quite an amazing feat. Our problem is around navigating the sovereign flags of the wrecks. There are sensitivities around the fact that the wrecks, particularly in places like Chook Lagoon, are war graves, and the Japanese War Graves Commission is involved in all of that. So as you can imagine, this is a hugely complicated venture. But the bottom line is that we actually need to protect our oceans. It's getting a bit more than just, we got a bit of plastic in our oceans now, and, it might go away because we can't see it. This has the capacity to completely ruin the economies of small Micronesian states. It has the capacity to completely cripple between 40 and 53% of their gross domestic product. Because if we have a major oil spill on their reef, culturally, language-wise, in terms of subsistence, economies, the whole bit, these are going to be a real problem.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. And I guess education is going to or should play a massive role in it as well. Thank you so much, Pat, for joining us this morning. We have run out of time for I guess, letting us know the extent of this problem and what you guys are doing to fix it.
And thank you, David. And look, we'd be more than happy for you to follow up on the story and talk to the people who are involved as our relationship with Newcastle University and SPREP unfolds. I've got to say, when it's all said and done, it's really exciting. It's really nice to have a crowd of people who've got a bit of expertise and a few brains going, well, we're going to have a go at this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good when smart minds get together to achieve something that's very, very good for the planet. Anyway, once again, thank you so much, Pat, for joining us.
Thank you very much, David. Goodbye.
That was Pat Miller from the Major Projects Foundation talking to us about reducing environmental risk in the Pacific from sink and shipwrecks around the Pacific Island nations and the ocean around them.